Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Anita Jay, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. Today we are reading from the Big Book. I think somebody's unmuted, one of the last people who spoke. You could press star one. And we are at page XIX, the very last paragraph, beginning with, while the internal difficulties of our adolescent period, and we're going to read through one more paragraph, which will end with, friends will be found further on in this page, in this book. The first paragraph is just for context only. Comments will all be focused on that second paragraph, which will be found at the top of page XX, the first paragraph on that page. Today's readers of the 12 steps is Jane F., 12 Traditions, Lauren N., and the readers of the text this morning are Dion R., Julie R., and Terry H. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, December 13th, is 9354. 9354. Overeaters Anonymous, there is somebody unmuted. It's got to be somebody who was introduced themselves. Folks, check it, please. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through sharing experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's tradition, fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jane F. to read our 12 steps.
Yes, good morning. This is Jane F. from New Hampshire. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
I am a compulsive overeater, grateful to be in recovery. Here are the 12 steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you to everybody who's giving service to my past.
Thank you very much, Jane F. And now I will ask Lauren N. to read our 12 traditions.
Hello, everyone. This is Lauren N. from New York, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For the two, for group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, in an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest the problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, overeaters as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public medias of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, never reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Lauren Ann. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. And then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book at the bottom of page XIX. Which begins, while the internal difficulties of our adolescent period, reading through the following paragraph, which can be found on the top page of XX, which ends with, "Friends will be found further on in this book." The first paragraph is going to be read for context only. All comments are to be focused on the second paragraph. So I will ask Dion R. to start us off. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Anita. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I be heard?
Yep.
Okay, great. Hi, I'm Dion R., a recovered compulsive overeater. While the internal difficulties of our adolescent period were beginning being ironed out, public acceptance of AA grew by leaps and bounds. For this, there were two principal reasons: the large number of recoveries and reunited homes. These made their impressions everywhere. Of alcoholics who came to AA who really tried, 50% got sobered at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses. And among the remainder, those who stayed in AA showed improvement. Other thousands came to a few AA meetings and at first decided they didn't want the program. But great numbers of these, about two or three, began to remain as time passed. Another reason for the wide acceptance of AA was the ministration of friends in medicine, religion, the press, together with innumerable others who became our able and persistent advocates. Without such support, AA could have made only the slowest progress. Some of the recommendations of AA's early medical and religious friends will be found further on in this book. What I'm getting from this and how I identify with it, again, is that recovered compulsive overeater is just being reminded of even the percentage, like many people talked about yesterday, of ones who came and who stayed, and even now some can come in today and Overeaters Anonymous, like I did, and say, well, I don't know if this is for me, but I was just coming. It's like I was peeping, open the door, just to peep in to see if it was for me. And, 20-some years later, I'm still here. Thank God I learned to recover back to basics with this big book. And following these simple suggestions, as well as from friends from medicine. I think about my doctors when they would, my one particular doctor, she would say, are you still going to that OA program? I was like, okay, yes, I'm going. But I wasn't applying. I didn't tell her that. I was like, I'm going, but nothing's working. I wasn't applying me and the steps. And many people who see me now, they'd be like, how you doing this? How you seem so different. You're personality, things are changing, and I said, well, I'm not sure if the OA just now start kicking in, or I start working a program, and they were like, you working a program. So anyway, so I'm grateful for that, and even religious people, just being able to share right quickly that I just, Saturday, I lost a good friend and an ex-husband, and it was pretty devastating. So I talked to friends and family members and people in recovery and get their moral support. But when it's just a religion, that's what really stick out to me, because when I came into 12-step programs 27 years ago, my religious family, they didn't understand the 12-step program. And this person that I talked to yesterday, he was like, I think you need to just keep call somebody in that program. And so it's like the steps begin to work us. And as long as I keep working the steps, my 10, 11, and 12, and without trying to be, I guess the religious people and different things, people in a program and in the community begin to open up when they see results, prodigious results. And especially that particular person, they open up a spot in their community church for a 12-step program. So I'm just saying, this is when I see this, a wide acceptance of AA. Many people began to give respect for it, and even a doctor's opinion, as we will find out later, they talk about. So, yes, the wide acceptance of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and the program had no exclusions. And I guess that's the main thing I get out of it. And I know in order to keep doing what I'm doing, I got to keep doing what I'm doing. And if that makes any sense, I will pass with that. Thank you guys for allowing me to share and being there for me.
Thank you very much, Deanna. Now, who else would like to share?
This is Bella. Can I share?
Bella?
Larry.
Melissa C.
Melissa C.
Wayne C.
And Wayne C. Let's go with these four. Let's start off with Bella, Larry, Melissa C., and Wayne C. Good morning, Bella.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella G., and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Anita, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Without such support, AA could have made only the slowest progress. Yes, thank you. Thank you, God, that I am in this program, and I get so much support. And what is the support? The support is the listening. The support is the listening without judging and blaming. The support is to be able to listen to me, you know, and to let me feel my feelings, live with my feelings, and to be honest with myself and to be honest with God, to be honest without fear. And yes, this group of people that some of them I don't even know personally, you know, give me the support to be able, you know, to feel without fear, without anxious. And now this last couple of days I'm going through an interesting challenge, and it's such a supportive when I can talk with people in the program and they understand me and they don't blame me and they don't judge me and they give me the support that I am doing the best I can because I am connected to God and not to my ego. And without this support, I wouldn't be able to be to have this, you know, this wonderful feeling and this wonderful, you know, that I am connected to God and not to myself. And this is my recovery. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bella G. And good morning, Larry K. You're up.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Anita. Thanks for your service. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, the one person I want to talk about, I've read about, was a guy that was pretty instrumental in Bill's life, Father Ed Dowling. And he showed up. He was a Catholic priest from St. Louis, and he traveled all the way out to New York to visit Bill. They became lifelong friends, and primarily Father Ed wanted to talk about the paradox of AA, this notion of a regeneration, he called it. You know, the strength arising out of defeat. We get here defeated, the strength arising out of defeat and weakness, the loss of one's old life as a condition for achieving a new one. And Bill agreed with that. They became friends. Their friendship grew, and Father Ed became a great friend of AA for the rest of his life. And he tried to, Father Ed tried to use the 12 steps with his own compulsive eating. I read about one story of his struggle ends, it says, with Father Ed one night eating all the strawberries intended to feed the whole Jesuit community. And he became so sick he had to receive his last rites. And he was a yo-yo dieter. He'd go from 250 pounds down to 167 and up again and again. And he even asked Bill to start. This is way back, you know, asked Bill to start.
We lost you, Larry. That's an exciting moment. Larry. Well, we may never know the end of that story. I think maybe we ought to move on to Melissa, and Larry, if you can get back, we'll hear the end.
Hi, it's Melissa C., recovered in New York, and I want to hear the rest of the story, too. I guess I'll have to wait. You know, what jumped out at me this morning was that in order for AA to have spread, for us to get so much attention and so much recovery, was we needed other people, not just alcoholics to kind of spread the word, to kind of, you know, there was a buzz, you know, and we needed other people who might not be suffering to kind of share that. And how, you know, how do we kind of match that and marry that with only one, you know, addict to another can really, you know, start the ball rolling? You know, I think how important it is for me when I'm asked, what are you doing? Like, how have you lost this weight? How are you keeping it off? You look so happy. You seem so together. To not brush off and make a decision who's worthy of hearing my message and who's not. You know, I've kind of have had in the past been
I don't believe it. What's happening? Melissa, we've lost you now. Melissa, you back?
Hi.
Hey, Anita, can you hear me?
Can you?
Oh, let's, Larry, don't go away, but let's finish Melissa.
Where am I going? I can't go anywhere.
Okay.
Am I muted right now?
No, I hear you both. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. You know what, I was just thinking how I can't be prejudiced about who I should be sharing the message with, because I never know who they're gonna be sharing it with, you know, and that it's very important, you know, to welcome conversations with doctors, with religious, you know, people in our community, because they have the ability to then point someone to us, you know, and then we can really do some important work. But I can't just say, you know, when someone asks me what I'm doing and decide that it's not important for me to tell them. You know, I never know. First of all, I never know how someone's truly suffering. You know, I'm only looking at their outside. But I also don't know who's in their life and who they could share the message with. And thank you so much. With that, I'll pass. And I want to hear the rest of Larry's story. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Yes, Larry. What happened?
I don't know. Sometimes I become disconnected from my higher power, but it's just a momentary lapse. So, but anyway, yeah, no, there's no great thing. He, Father Ed Dowling, just such a great story. He, this guy had an insight, and he was a major compulsive overeater, and he was up and down and yo-yo dieting, and he asked Bill and became friends with Bill and Lois and asked Bill to start Obese Obvious. It's in the, you know, it's definitely a discussion he had. The guy couldn't, he was a smoker. He stopped smoking and then he put on lots of weight and he was one of us. And the thing is though, what I love about the divine nature, this friendship grew and he became really a spiritual advisor to Bill, and he supported Lois as she developed Al-Anon. It's a great story. In fact, Father Ed Dowling, you can read some of his comments in the appendix in the big book. So I'm indebted to people like Father Ed. I think we all are. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Anita.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. Yes, now it's Wayne C. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure I want to share now. I was after Melissa, and then, you know, Larry comes in and takes my spot. So, yeah, and you know what? I think I'm just going to – I'm kidding. It's all good. It's all good. Thank you. I appreciate everybody's comments. Isn't that typical, though, reaction, right, to thankfully I did some step work. I could actually just move on. But bad joke aside, yeah, you know, I like this idea, and I think I just want to sort of focus on, you know, something I heard Joe and Charlie's talk about, you know, the famous AA speakers, and they said, you know, we have, we spend so much hundreds of thousands of dollars on trying to help, you know, new people come into AA, but yet there's, you know, thousands dying within AA because of, you know, not being able to hear the message or, you know, not carrying the message. And I think so, you know, as much as, you know, I see I guess it's just a plug for Visions and how it's really helping to, you know, share the message within the fellowship and help people and really focus on the steps as they're originally written. And I say that having sort of being fresh off, having done the 12 steps and really the beginning of a spiritual experience. And it's really a beautiful thing, and it's really helping me. And so while, you know, sort of networking and being out there and making these connections in the community, even to this day, and trying to, you know, find a modern day Dr. Soapworth within the, you know, the doctors or the food disorder clinics. I mean, I think it's still, there's a lot to be said about enough people within the club rooms, to spend time trying to, you know, carry the message to. And that being said, I'm gonna suck it up and go out into this brutal weather and go to my meeting. You know, this morning. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Wayne C. Let's open it up again for 3 or 4 more people before we move on. Who else would like to share?
Amanda R.
Nessa R.
Reva
nice.
Barbara D.
All right, guys, let's stop with those 4. Amanda R., Nessa, Reva P., Reva P., and Barbara B. All right. Amanda R., good morning.
Good morning. This is Amanda R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Maine. And I had a practical idea that's been working pretty well for me in this general subject of, you know, friends in medicine helping us to spread the word. I mean, I think that's where a lot of us compulsive overeaters, we tend to maybe show up first because, well, I mean, most everyone goes to the doctor every once in a while. And if the food has gotten to a point where we're overweight or underweight or it's hurting our bodies in other ways, we know this. We're not foolish. It's just that we're kind of powerless over it until we work the steps. But at any rate, this is an idea I got from somebody in another 12-step fellowship I'm part of, but she had these little, not like business cards, but calling cards. She made them up, had her first name and her phone number and her town, and she would pass them out to people who might be interested in their 12-step fellowship. So I got a bunch of those made up for myself. I got my first name, town, phone number. I wrote down the World Service website for information on OA, and I also put down the call-in information for Vision for You, time and number and everything. And, you know, I ran it by my sponsor to make sure I wasn't doing anything breaking anonymity. And so I am not putting these up on bulletin boards. That would be breaking anonymity. What I do is I talked to my family doctor, you know, and other doctors are really interested in how this program's working for me. And so they had this idea I could take a little Ziploc bag of these index cards and give them to their secretary. Now, my doctor, if someone else thinks they might be interested in this approach or my doctor can suggest it, now they cannot give out my name because of confidentiality reasons with being their patient and all that. But what they can say is, you know, the secretary has some index cards, some little calling cards of people who are of somebody who has experience in this 12-step food program, and they're happy to talk to other people and, ask them for a card on the way out. So that's one thing, you know, to help them spread the word, which I am very happy to have them spread, and also has opened up some opportunities for me to speak at some of their weight loss support groups and, you know, just things where, you know, I may find some other people who may be interested and pass out some more cards if people ask for them. So, yeah, I'd be happy to talk to anybody else about that who would like some pointers, and that's all I have to share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Amanda. Nessa R., good morning.
Hi, good morning, Vision for You. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is Nessa R., recovered in Toronto, Canada, and I just wanted to focus on the word support. you know, support, one of the definitions of support is to give assistance to enable to function or act. And, you know, these people are there to help us. But for so many years and so many times, I placed my trust and reliance upon all these professionals. And somebody is muted and talking in the background, and it's very distracting. Or maybe it's my own echo that I'm hearing, I think.
Yeah, I don't hear anything.
Okay, sorry about that. So for many years, I put my trust and reliance upon all these professionals, you know, the doctors, the nutritionists, the exercise specialists, you know, to give me the magic cure, to give me the pill who that would allow me to eat everything I wanted and still be thin. And, you know, obviously that didn't happen because I'm here. And, you know, what this program has taught me is that the only one that I can place my trust and reliance upon is God. He is the one who is going to solve all my problems. But, you know, and I go back to the definition of support. It says to give assistance, enable to function or act. So I still have work to do. I have to take the appropriate actions for these people to be able to help me. What are the appropriate actions? I have to put the food down, and I have to follow the instructions in the big book with the food down. You know, I have to take these steps, these 12 steps that will unblock me from God, so I can totally trust and rely upon Him to guide me, to deal with my life, to help me function, to remove my character defects, and ultimately to remove the food obsession that has plagued me for, you know, the most of my life, really. So to support is not to do it for me or to cure me. Support is help me along so that I can take the actions that I need to take in order to recover, placing trust and reliance upon God, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nessa. And now Reva, followed by Barbara. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. It's Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. This paragraph on the medical support of AA is a huge remember when for me. When I reached my bottom, thank you, God, I ended up seeing a doctor who was not my own doctor because she wasn't in that day, and I was in a hospital, and he recommended two things, a research-oriented, state-of-the-art clinic for eating disorders, and on a hokey piece of paper that was orange in the shape of a foot, which I'll never forget, he wrote the words Overeaters Anonymous in a phone call. And there was no way I was going to try that program. It sounded like just hokey from the name. But you know what? In that research, state-of-the-art clinic, there was absolutely no mention of OA. And actually, I bumped into a girl there because I had mentioned I had this piece of paper, and she told me, oh, don't bother. It doesn't really work. And it just strikes me here, there's such medical support, and it's telling me how AA is growing by leaps and bounds. And I guess I'm struck by the fact, you know, at that time, the program of recovery was the same as the fellowship. And there weren't, this is when things got unified and strong. There was a strong, unified message. And if I look at the appendix on the medical view of AA, you know, you have these well-known doctors and psychiatrists talking about how they're acknowledging that their main role with the alcoholic is to basically convince the person. It says, our task is to break down the patient's inner resistance so that he will actually be willing, you know, to go and work the program of AA. I don't think that happens now. So I don't know what these research-oriented clinics are like these days because it's been a while. But as was shared, you know, what am I doing to spread the message, and what are we doing as a group, as a whole? I really do think we are in this adolescent period, because even in Toronto, there are so many kinds of meetings. Even people coming into the rooms get confused about how this thing works and whether it works.
But with medical support, I think we need to be unified in ourselves before doctors will acknowledge that this really, really is a powerful treatment. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Reva. Good morning, Barbara B. You'll be our last share on this paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Barbara B., recovered compulsive reader in Massachusetts. And as I look at this, and it says another reason for the wide acceptance of AA was the administrations of friends in medicine, religion, and the press, etc. Well, I'm remembering what it was like a while ago to go to a doctor and say, you know, I've been offered the chance of Overeaters Anonymous because obviously nothing else was working. My health was in horrible condition physically and emotionally and every other way. And he said, oh, that's a bunch of people just getting together and telling each other their woes. And we've come a long way, I feel. And a lot of that is due to, I think, to OA members distributing literature to their doctors, getting permission to put them in hospital racks, the pamphlets. So I feel that, you know, there has been a lot of progress in terms of the medical profession. And in looking at the, you know, religious aspect and religious friends and the guidance that the founders of AA had, I feel that there are certain voices now, and I remember reading several years ago that 12-step spirituality is really the spirituality of this century, and I totally agree. And I know that in my own faith community, we did a book called Breathing Underwater by Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest who is paralleling the 12-step spirituality with the Gospels, and that's been used in various faith communities. And so there are supports out there. I feel it's a matter of spreading that message, aligning myself with those voices, and continuing to work on that level, because so much can be done on an individual basis. But I think this is worth imitating, this calling out to friends in the medical and religious communities. And who knows where the press would take us as long as personal anonymity is declined. So I'm glad to look at the call to do further work in that area, in those areas. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara. And now we will move on to the second paragraph on page XX. Somebody's on speaker, and it's causing an echo. If you could check that out. So page XX, the second paragraph, Julie R., will you please read this paragraph for us?
Hi, this is Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as with the men of religion. And, you know, for me, I'm very grateful that it's, quote-unquote, not a religious organization, you know, even though, like, the big book, right, it has, I think, 200 references to God, and five of the 12 steps mention God. And for me, I'm so grateful that Bill went on to say, or not Bill, but Ebby said you could choose your own conception of God, because I am not religious, and I that's my own thing. I would have... Several times I just couldn't handle going to a meeting because they would say the Lord's Prayer, which was a practice of AA and still is in many AA meetings. But now it's like I look at it just as a prayer. I don't put any religious doctrine around that prayer. It's just I change the words. And I'm glad because I would not have stayed in OA if I was told that I had to do a certain kind of dogma. I'm spiritual, I get that, and I'm so glad that they were able to come up with traditions and each group is autonomous. And unfortunately, it kind of went another way. There's so many different facets coming up for meetings, meetings that don't want to say the word God at all and take it out of the book, blah, blah, blah. To me, my God is my creator. And I am glad that I have a God that directs my life and that I can go to, and whatever you want to call that God, because it's the God of my conception, my God, not your God. And this could have really went wrong at the very beginning if they would have said, you've got to be this religion or follow this sect. But they didn't. God was so in charge of this whole beginning of the process, because it could have went away just like the other groups did that were focused on a certain religion. So, yes, it's not religious, but it is about finding that power, which is not you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julia. Who would like to share on this little paragraph?
Katie G. from Boston.
Katie G.
Kanessa K.
Vasa O.
Hold on a minute. Was it Kanessa K?
Yes, Kanessa K.
Kanessa K. And Vasa O. How about one more?
Sarah W.
And Sarah W. Oh, wonderful. All right, Katie G., followed by Kanessa K. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Anita. May I be heard?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'll start my timer. Good morning, my friends. Katie G., recovered compulsive overeater anorexic and bulimic in Boston. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I am so glad. It reminds me of that other line, be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. That's like later in the book. For me, you know, when I thought of when organized religion would speak, you know, with their formal gods and things like that, hatred, vile, anger, fury would come up in me. And this was before I was recovered, thank you, God. And I couldn't hear anything that they were saying. It was like, la, 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 la. So thank you, God, for the person who first said to me, KDG, the only thing you need to know is that there is a God and you are not it. And I could totally get on board with that, totally, because I had spent my life over and over again trying this thing, that thing, and when I later read We Agnostics, like it beat me into a state of yes, there's no way there isn't a God. And it wasn't a Santa Claus God. Like, I couldn't make up some Santa Claus God, where sometimes I still do. I'm like, God, I gave you A plus B. I want C now. But thank you, God. There isn't anything that's going to block us. Now, at the same time, because I've been able to develop a God of my own understanding, if there's something in particular I don't like about an organized religion, or that I, you know, I'm kind of able to look at the parts that make sense to me, to look at, and it's really been amazing over the past 14 years how my understanding of God has morphed into a Jewish Buddhist monk, you know, I think every form of religion has informed my practice of spirituality that continues to grow. And with all institutions through my later step work, I've been able to see that, like, just because there are certain aspects of things that may not work for me, you know, in a person, in an institution, that doesn't mean that I blot them out and that they're wrong and that I can't ever learn anything from them. In fact, quite the contrary. When there are things and organizations that are bothering me and bringing up that antipathy, you know, the more I can, you know, study what it is that they're using, I find things that are right. So it's been one of those ironic things where, thank you, God, it's been so unifying for me that I can call my God God, you can call your God HP, you can call your God Goddess, or, you know, whoever it is. And yet, by doing that, by unifying together with neutrality, I get my life saved. And then I get to learn from people from everybody in these rooms. And thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for Overeaters Anonymous. I'm doing it with you guys. One more day in Boston. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie G. And Kanessa, good morning. You're up.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Kanessa K., recovering compulsive overeater in Cincinnati, Ohio. Again, I want to focus in on that word religion. Like so many of us, I grew up in an organized religion and still am a, you know, practicing member of that faith very joyfully. But I heard a quote recently that really resonated with me, and it was from a spiritual teacher, I don't know who, but the quote was, if you follow the path too narrowly, the only thing you'll ever see is the path. And for me, the program has opened up my religion to my understanding of what my relationship is with my God. And those two have very slowly learned to walk hand in hand, and I with it, and with both my religion and my spirituality and my path. It's very easy to go to church every week and sit and listen to scripture, gospel, or whatever it is that, you know, any of us follow, but never really form a relationship with God and or my higher power. I don't want to offend anyone, but for so many years, I think I just followed the path, and all I saw was the path. I didn't see anything outside of that. So for me, the program, the 12 steps, excuse me, and the practice of praying for willingness to understand that my higher power is either everything or he's nothing. So for that, just that understanding, if I never, ever become completely recovered, and I pray every day that I do and continue to work this program to the best of my ability to get there, if that's the only thing I take, that is such a gift, that it's not just the path. You know, following a religion sometimes can be black and white, but the program brings color and detail and an understanding of what that relationship is. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kenessa Kay. Vaso, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Anita, for your service, and I'm Vaso, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from Florida. And, yeah, I like this little paragraph. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view. I'm not going to continue on that. I was so, so grateful when I came and I heard this was not a religious program. I did grow up in an organized religion and also in a communist country. So I was there was a lot of confusion there. My father was a priest, and we went to church, and I went to school, and the teachers taught us there's no God, don't believe in God. And a lot of people lost their jobs because of their belief in the communist country, or they were prosecuted. So, but anyways, and I was raised with fearful punishing God, you know, and so a lot of mixed emotions and mixed thinking in my head. But, you know, again, I was so, so desperate, you know, when I came in this program. I said, you know, I better try this because I'm going to die anyways. And I did not run out. I would have run out from my first meeting. It was in the church. I really would have, because that would have scared me. And my meetings were I went to a couple meetings, and they were in hospitals or different places. And then later on, I started going to the church basements, and I started feeling more comfortable. But I have my own God, my own understanding of God today. It's not my father's. It's not my mother's. It's my own, because I've had that spiritual experience with God when I came into this program. And I do combine. I've gone back to the church, you know. But I have a much better relationship with God and connection with God when I get into the 12-step program meetings, you know. In church, I go and I listen and then I go home, but there's not sharing, which I enjoy. I mean, I enjoy that too, you know. But this is my church. This is my main church that I get the most, and I just, and then we pass it on as we've learned. And I remember, I know my time is coming up. I remember people putting the church that, you know, my husband was going to, and they were putting piece of papers under every seat in church to promote, to spread the word of AA, you know, or OA, whatever. And I've done that with my doctors, or we go to cleaners, you know, put stuff, you know, information about the programs. And, you know, and I do make phone calls, but I don't chase people. At the beginning, I was chasing people. Now I don't. When God puts the opportunity for me to do it, I do it. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Vasa. And Sarah W., good morning to you. You're up. Sarah, press star one. Sarah. Well, while we're waiting for Sarah, is there one more person? Maybe we can get in one more person. Sarah, are you back? Well, then I'm going to take a little turn here until Sarah comes back, and then it'll be time to end the meeting. And that is at a meeting I heard last night, somebody was talking about one dimension of the God that they have found. And I thought, yes, once we can cut people off at the legs, please, just because you didn't like your church, it doesn't mean that you can't find a God of your own understanding. And the clue here is find, search for one. And what she said last night was, are you looking for a higher power or God the way you would look for it for a lost sneaker? Or are you looking for a higher power, something that you can follow and that can guide you as if you're looking for a lost child? And I thought, yes, that is a fantastic image there. Sarah, are you back?
Linda D.
Yeah, Anita. I'm sorry I got kicked out of the line.
Okay. I think we're going to have to end with Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Anita. Good morning, Sarah W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Iowa. You know, there are no mistakes because I woke up very early and I was kind of perusing, listening to some meditation, and on the internet I looked up something on one of the sites, and I looked up and was reading about Jim Burwell, Jim B. He wrote The Vicious Cycle, and he was very instrumental. You know, I mean, how does this happen, you know? Is it odd or is it God? Because I don't know if I've ever read that story. But it's all about the idea that, you know, in AA Comes of Age, which was a book that is written about AA's history, Jim was an agnostic, and he was very opposed to the usage of the word God in consistent adherence to his agnostic philosophy. So he was very good friends with a guy named Fitz, who he knew for many, many years. And Fitz was on the other side of the camp. You know, he was also an alcoholic. And Fitz also wrote a story, I think it was Our Southern Friend, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, you know, it's you know, we're so fortunate that we have so many different voices. And I love when Leah says that, you know, the mosaics of what we have. You know, some people sound much more strong and some people sound a little bit more soft. And whatever it is, you know, people hear the message in whatever way it is. But, you know, the idea of this, the idea that it isn't a religious, and I was thinking about Tradition 10 and the idea that, you know, we have to be very cautious that we have no opinion on outside issues, that we don't bring outside publications in, you know, into our meetings. We can do it afterwards, but, you know, it really has to be very focused on OA, OA's material and everything. And, you know, thank God it is, because where would we be if it wasn't? And I have to say, I came in through a physician, and I'm so grateful I did. I'm so grateful this woman knew about OA and directed me that way, because I had tried everything. And that was 22 years ago. And I'm just so grateful to be here today. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Anita, for being so patient.
Thank you very much, Sarah. And thank you to everyone who has shared. Linda, I hope you'll stay on and share that second hour. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Terry H. please read a vision for you?
Thanks, Anita. This is Terry H., recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.